Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because this could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life, maybe of this day. This show called The Flatline. Maybe you've heard it before. I hope that you have. We've been on the air now for 5 years, and it's our desire to keep going for a lot of more years. But we're about motivation, inspiration, some education, and we're always doing it with no manipulation. It means that we do not have hidden agendas on this radio show because we do not try to sell you anything. We do not try to get you to join anything. We are not trying to coerce you into doing anything. We simply want to give you accurate information. Accurate information based on what the Bible says, not human speculation. Accurate information from the infallible Word of God. And I realize that not everybody believes the Bible is the Word of God, and I'm not here to debate that topic. I know if they don't agree with me, they'll move on down the My Way highway, and they won't be listening very long. But if you are interested, if you do have an opinion, then please listen up, because we're going to talk about a subject today that is very interesting. We're going to talk about a lack of contentment. We're going to talk about a lifestyle that is not grace-oriented, a lifestyle that has no contentment or no capacity for life. So regardless of whatever that person who has no contentment may possess, if they don't have the capacity for happiness, then all the possessions in the world still guarantee their misery. A person once told me, a good friend of mine that I respect very much, he said, having money gives you the ability to be miserable in a different part of town, or in a different part of town. And I understand what he's talking about. No capacity, no contentment. And so today, on the Flatline, that's our subject. That's what we want to study. And if you stay with me and if you listen, you're going to find some amazing concepts, some amazing truths. You see, the Bible is like a mirror, and it reflects what's inside of our soul. When you go to the Word of God and you take a look at yourself in humility, not having some unrealistic self-image, not thinking you're the greatest Christian that ever came down the pipe because you tithe, or you're the greatest Christian that ever came down the pipe because you don't smoke, drink, or chew, or hang out with those that do. See, some people get that attitude that God is impressed because they don't do bad things. And if they do God things, God will do good things, then God will bless them. And if they do bad things, God will get them. See, God, that's not the way God operates. I'm sorry. He is a God of grace. The best thing God's ever done for us is He saved us. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, His anointed Son, to go to the cross and to pay for our sins. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. And you're not going to go to heaven because you're a good person and don't drink and don't smoke and don't dance and don't chew or whatever. You're going to go to heaven if you have believed in Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your Savior. And then when, as far as the Christian life goes, there's so much misunderstanding about that. Very little understanding about what actually is the protocol plan of God and how does the Christian life actually function. So that under the concept of religion, which is the Satan's ace trump here, people get into the idea that if they're nice and good and sweet, that they'll be able to approbate God, and God will bless them and do nice things for them. And that's not the way it operates. That's not God's plan. God's plan is called protocol. P-R-O-T-O-C-O-L. That's a word. Protocol. And protocol simply means this, that a right thing has to be done in a right way. Without following the protocol plan of God, you can go to church all you want to. You can sing in the choir, you can tithe, you can make missionary trips, and it could all be a right thing that was done in a horribly wrong way. The end result would be that at the judgment seat of Christ or the evaluation throne, you would see all of your good works burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. They would not endure the test of time. And that test is, how did you manufacture these? Were they done in the energy of the flesh, or were they committed under the filling of the Holy Spirit? It's very important you understand the protocol plan of God. Because if you don't understand that, if you don't come to learn the protocol plan of God, you're never, never going to have any capacity in your life. The protocol plan of God starts with us learning how to rebound. That's problem-solving device number one. And when we sin, we must rebound. Rebound means we recover from our sin. And the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us and purify us from all of our wrongdoing. The problem is most people don't realize that sin can be a mental attitude. It can be something you're thinking. It can be something you're saying. Or it can be something you're doing. It can be mental, verbal, or actual. And so if you don't think that worry is a sin, then you're probably not going to confess it. If you don't think that gossip is a sin, you're probably not going to confess it. But whenever you begin to speak about a neighbor, speak about a friend, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7. Don't worry about the speck that is in your neighbor's eye when you have a log sticking out of your own eye. And we are told in Matthew 7 not to stick our nose into other people's business. Therefore, the Bible does not authorize judging or maligning or slandering or gossiping other people. And oftentimes this is done just out of jealousy and out of lack of contentment. So we have problem-solving device number one, rebound, which is the ability to recover our spiritual momentum after we have committed a sin. In other words, when we rebound, we are now able to put the Holy Spirit back in charge. When we sin, we quench the Spirit. We grieve the Spirit. But when we rebound, then we resume the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then there is the filling of the Holy Spirit, problem-solving device number two, that takes care of the energy of the flesh so that as believers we are not manufacturing human good in the energy of the flesh, or we're not doing right things in wrong ways. And then as we operate under the filling of the Holy Spirit, we produce divine good. At the evaluation throne is called gold, silver, and precious stones, 1 Corinthians 3. Here's where we receive our rewards. And now we're tested. Being tested in time means that we use the faith rest drill. And we've studied the faith rest drill extensively on this radio show. It's living behind the promises of God and making biblical application to situations in your life so that the outside pressure of adversity does not become the inside pressure of stress. Those are the first three problem-solving devices out of the 10 that we call the Flotline. The 10 problem-solving devices that we are to learn and put onto the front lines of our soul so that we keep the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. Now let's get to our subject today. As you move through the problem-solving devices, you will find grace orientation. And it's an amazing way to live. If you have a lack of grace orientation, then you're going to have some inordinate ambition. That seems to be running amok in America today. I don't think I've ever seen a time in this client nation called the United States of America when there is so much discontent, when there is so much unhappiness. There are so many people jockeying for position, trying to climb to the top of the heap and build their house on cards. There is so much inordinate ambition in the workplace and in the families. Discontent in America, there have been articles written about it. You could just go onto the internet and type discontent in America, and you will find hundreds of articles just like I did. But most Americans are dismayed by the direction of their government, whether it was in the past under the past administration or whether it's now under the previous administration. People are not happy. They're discontent. The Gallup poll indicated that in 2008, 72% of Americans were dissatisfied with the direction of America. So we wanted a new man. We wanted a new person in charge. We wanted somebody that'll give us a change and put us in the right direction. Well, are you happy now? Has that new person changed anything? Are people in a better mood now? Has discontent gone away? Because discontent breeds a frantic search for happiness. Now, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Have you put your faith alone in Christ alone? If so, then I need to ask you a question today. Are you content? Paul put it this way, as he wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So Paul the Apostle had learned this many years ago, that happiness is not based on what you have or don't have. Happiness is based on the capacity that you have in your soul. And if people base happiness on what they have or don't have, then regardless of what they have, they will never be happy because they don't have the capacity to actually enjoy what they have. Question I need to ask you today, are you discontented? Are you discontented with your finances? Do you think if you could just win the lottery, you could pay your bills? Are you discontented with your home? Do you wish you hadn't bought this home? Do you wish you could sell this home? Do you feel like you're trapped in this home? What about with your spouse? Are you discontented with the person that you married? Are they not what you thought they were going to be? Do you feel trapped in this marriage that you wish you never had done? Without capacity for life, there'll never be contentment in any of these areas. And how do you get capacity for life? You learn it. Capacity for life must be learned. And the only way to learn it is what Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said in Luke 11:27-28, a passage that I've quoted many times, a passage that I learned many years ago. And here's what it says. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and who keep it. All capacity for life starts with you hearing the word of God on a consistent basis. God gave you ears and eyes, the ability to comprehend, and it starts with you hearing truth taught. You're hearing the word of God today. You're hearing me teach you the Bible. Will you apply what you hear? Because that's what the Bible says. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. A little short acrostic is LAG, L-A-G, learn, apply, and then glorify. You cannot apply what you have not learned. And there is no capacity for life until you learn the word of God. So when you hear it on a consistent basis, then you have the opportunity to apply it. All application comes from the volition in your soul. Will you or will you not do the right thing? So if you have that contentment, if you have that contentment of who you are and what you are, you know that God in grace saved you, that God in grace gave His Word to you, that God in grace gave you His Holy Spirit, that God in grace keeps you alive every day. Every day that you take a breath of air, it's compliments of the grace of God. So now what is it that you need to make you happy? What is it that you don't have that you say, if I just had this, I would be happy? You see, that is an indication that you'll never be happy. If you need someone to make you happy, if you need something to make you happy, you will never be happy. You will never have contentment because you do not have the capacity to be happy where you are with what you are. And so you have this unrealistic self-image that if you could just have more money or just have a different mate or just live in a different location or just something, that I could be happy. The end result of that is the my way highway and a tragic life full of disastrous decisions, bad moves, that eventually lead in shame and embarrassment and even destruction. But now, grace orientation is a wonderful thing. One of our problem-solving devices. Grace orientation. I love to be around people that are grace-oriented. People that are grace-oriented have capacity for life. They don't have inordinate ambition, so they're not in competition with you. They're not hypersensitive, so you don't have to worry about what you're saying is going to offend them. They don't have an unrealistic self-image, so they're not all the time trying to get one up on you because you got the attention and they didn't. But without that grace orientation, without living grace, see, what is grace orientation? Let's back it up. It's one of the tremendous problem-solving devices on the flat line of the soul. And it starts with saving grace. How are you saved? Well, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And it's a gift of God, not of works, lest someone would brag about it. So saving grace is how grace orientation starts. Well, then there's living grace. And this means that every day, God supplies all you need to keep going. He promised in Matthew 10 he would do it. He said, if you just seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, I'll give you everything you need. Don't worry about your life or what is tomorrow, what is the next day. You're more valuable to me than even the sparrow, the bird. And God knows every time a little bird dies, that's for sure. He even knows how many hairs are on our head or not on your head. He knows that. So he's perfectly aware of your need. And so, as you have grace orientation, you're living by grace. You're being sustained by grace. And when it comes time for you to be promoted face to face with the Lord, when you get the call to head home to the front office, it will be grace all the way. Dying grace is a phenomenal attribute for the mature believer because he does not die in fear and he does not die in guilt. He dies looking forward to a glorious future. He is not apprehensive. His family is not forlorn. He had a wonderful life and an even better future. Where the Bible says, I have not seen and ear hath not heard and heart hath not felt the amazing things God has for us. And that's why Jesus said, if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. And to paraphrase it, don't worry, I'll come back and receive you to myself. Grace orientation is saving grace, living grace, dying grace, and even surpassing grace. It's a wonderful way to live. When you live with grace orientation, you treat people in grace, which means that you're never defensive. You don't get defensive if someone maligns you or slanders you, if someone's not considerate of you, if you didn't get the invite, or if someone offended you in some way. A grace-oriented person forgives and forgets. He doesn't defend himself, and he doesn't get angry and mad and seek revenge and get upset because someone did not include him or her in the latest happening. See, that's what's going on in the world today. Everybody clawing to get to the top. Everybody miserable where they are. And they want attention. They want to be the in crowd. They want to be happy. I mean, they see it on television all the time. They see what television and what movies tell you that happiness is one thing, and the Bible tells you something else. And so if a movie says that happiness is having sex outside of marriage, and then you try it and you're not happy, you're miserable, and you're guilty, then you understand you have been lied to and duped. And maybe you will understand why God said, wait until you get married to have sex. You see, the world will lie to you about everything. Sex will make you happy. Drugs and alcohol are a cure for loneliness. That's not true. Neither one of those statements are true. And yet that's what people believe every day. In this frantic search for happiness, if I can just get some recognition, if I can just get someone to pay attention to me, if I can just be this or if I can just be that, then I would be happy. Wrong. You will not be happy. Because happiness is related to capacity for life. And capacity for life builds off of grace orientation. Without grace orientation, you'll never be happy. You will always be defensive. Always worried about what someone said. And they didn't give you your due attention. You will always have an accusatory psychology. You will always be thinking that someone's overlooking you or someone's out to get you. You will always be judging other people. Judging other people means you malign them. You criticize them most of the time behind their back when they're not looking. So if someone says, what do you think about Joe Blow, and Joe Blow is a friend of yours, you may say, well, you know, I don't like to talk about people, but he's got a problem. No, the problem is not Joe Blow. The problem's you, because you just opened your mouth and ran him down. And that's why Matthew 7 says, if you open your mouth and you run down anybody, then you're going to get triple compound discipline. Not only will you get your discipline for your sin of maligning and judging, but even if they are sinners doing something that you maligned about, the discipline will be taken off of them and given to you. And then you will have self-induced misery. So you'll have your discipline, their discipline, and self-induced misery. Read about it. Matthew 7, 1 through 7. Do not judge, lest you be judged. For whatever you judge with, it'll be measured back to you again. So the person with inordinate competition, the person that's hypersensitive, the person that has this unrealistic self-image about who and what he is, he's always defensive. He's always accusatory. He's always judging other people. And he's so competitive. If you don't recognize him, if you don't count out to him, if you're not very careful what you say around him or her, well, then you've got a problem. And they rise up viciously and violently to defend their turf, to defend their territory, to lay their stake, to lay their claim to who and what they are and what they've accomplished. But people with grace orientation, oh, how I love to be around them. How I enjoy being around a person like that. You don't have to worry about hurting their feelings. You don't have to worry about them talking about you behind your back. You don't have to worry because you didn't recognize their birthday or you didn't recognize their anniversary or you didn't recognize, they don't feel left out when you don't recognize their little private days. They don't feel ignored when you don't call them or speak to them. They don't go home and say, well, I saw so-and-so at the mall. They never spoke to me. As if so-and-so needed to speak to you. Why is it important that someone speak to you? So you can be recognized. That's why. You see, it's always about me. It's always about self-centered me. The person without grace orientation, without capacity for life, when you talk to them on the phone, it's always about them and what their life and what they are doing and what someone did to them and what someone said about them. Life's too short to live around these sort of people, I assure you, because they have to be treated with kid gloves. They're hypersensitive, jealous, envious people, and they have to be treated with kid gloves. Because if you don't treat them like a child, then they're highly offended. And they will pull away and brood and let you know how unhappy they are. They might not even speak to you for a day or two or a week or two. You actually might have some peace for a while. Listen, you're saved by grace. I'm saved by grace. And we live by grace. Living by grace means that we grace people out. If they ignore us, that's fine. If they don't tout how great we are, that's fine. If they don't include us in certain events, that's fine. Because our happiness does not come from recognition. Our happiness does not come from the appreciation of someone on the outside. Our happiness comes from who and what Christ is. We are not. Well, I'll put it this way. We don't belong here. We are sojourners. We are passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. And so why are you worried that the world doesn't recognize you? Why are you worried that your friends don't give you the due recognition? Do you think God knows what you're doing? Do you think He is aware of who and what you are? Do you think He knows what you've sacrificed and what you've been through? And the answer is yes. If you've been treated unfairly, well, the Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. All you have to do is take your troubles to the seat of the Lord Jesus Christ and lay your troubles at His feet and walk away from them and let Him handle it. You don't have to seek revenge. You don't have to fight and claw your way to the top to make sure that everybody recognizes you for what you did. That's not contentment. The Bible says in Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, be content with what you have, and let your lifestyle be free from the love of money. Contentment. An interesting word, archaeo. Archaeo. Archaeo is the Greek word that translates into the English contentment. It means to have inner strength. It means to be satisfied. It means to be suffice. Satisfied, sufficient, inner strength. You don't need someone to make you happy. You don't need circumstances, people, or places to go to make you happy. The happiness is based on the contentment in your soul. And the only way you have that capacity to be happy is from the Word of God that you've learned and applied in your life. That's why you will never get there by just being a conventional Christian, just going to church on Sunday, going through the motion, the ritual without reality. You're not growing up doing that. Well, I went to Sunday school and I went to church. Hooray for you. Well, what about the other 6 days that you operated in the energy of the flesh? You didn't learn anything. You didn't apply anything. And the plan of God, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. The Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Does that mean just on Sunday? Every day is a day to grow. Every day is a day to take in the Word of God. Every day is a day to make the application. And every day is a day to glorify Jesus Christ. Therefore, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. No, you cannot do it in the energy of the flesh. Only through the filling of the Holy Spirit, only through using the faith rest drill, can you represent Jesus Christ to your friends. Because that's how he lived, and that's how you live. Paul put it this way in 1 Timothy 6:6, that we should have godliness accompanied by contentment. Contentment is inner tranquility, is happiness inside. It is no inner conflicts. It's facing pressure in your life and keeping the pressure on the outside. When you have a flat line in your soul built on 10 problem-solving devices, then the outside forces of adversity never become the inside pressure of stress. Lack of contentment, you're going to live a stress-filled life. Lack of contentment, you'll never have capacity. Because it starts as you grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. It starts when you put yourself under the ministry of a qualified pastor who can teach you God's Word daily. And as you grow, you will glorify Jesus Christ. You will go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you will appear in heaven a winner. You will be well received. Welcome. You will get that royal welcome home. I don't want to show up in heaven and just make it there by the skin of my teeth. I want to show up a winner. I want to show up a person who glorified Jesus Christ to the max. How about you? Has this made sense? If you'd like to write to me, feel free to do so. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.